Well, greetings, hello, welcome to our second installment of the Weekly Wisdom Lessons. This is an kind of an enhancement of the Weekly Wisdom Tips that I've been writing that have been going out in the mail in my newsletter and to which many of you have been responding. And what we've discovered, for those of you who are new here, is that a lot of people have been making great use of the Weekly Wisdom Tips and have asked for more, have been interested in seeing an extension and enhancement of the information that the Weekly Wisdom Tips offer. So this is our response to that, and I'm going to be continuing to take the topic of the Weekly Wisdom Tips and expand upon it in these brief audio programs. And they'll be archived in our blog posts. So if you go to the blog post, you'll be able to go ahead and listen to this even after the week finishes out. I also want to mention that one of the ways that I'm trying to add value, I've created another system, another program that we call the Hypnosis for Change Calls. And you will find that if you go to my website and you push the big red button on the right side of the site, that's stevetaubman.com, there's a big red Join Now button on pretty much every page. That'll take you to a page where you have an opportunity to either join our monthly membership program, which we're calling the Mindful Selling and Leadership Program. And for $10 a month, you have unlimited access to all the paid calls, or any individual call is just $7. And these are brief hypnotic induction programs where I use the tools and techniques of hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming to help transform you at the level of your subconscious mind so that whatever the area is that we're discussing, you'll have some power over it in a very real way, because it's ultimately the subconscious mind that produces the results that we see in our lives. And until our subconscious minds take on the challenge and accept a new set of beliefs, it's very difficult to create any real results in our lives. So that's why I've created the Hypnosis for Change calls. And if you want to jump on those calls, you can register online. You can do it now, or you can do it at any point along the way here or afterwards, and then get the call that pertains to this particular topic. That is, of course, if you're curious about it. And that's my segue, because today's topic is curiosity. Last week we talked about curiosity as it pertains to our own individual experience. What is curiosity as it pertains to our own beliefs, our own attitudes, our own emotions? And how can we become more effective in life if we use curiosity as a tool to inquire into our own experience and discover whether our beliefs are supporting us or not, and whether our self-image is enhancing our lives or not, and whether our emotions are stopping us or not. And so we discussed curiosity from that point of view. Today what I want to do is talk to you about curiosity as it pertains to your relationship with the world around you and the people around you. We all have the natural tendency to judge. We're constantly judging ourselves and others. And, you know, think about it. At those times in your life when people aren't doing exactly what it is that you want them to do or expect from them, your first inclination, your first instinct is to go into a state of judgment. You know, they shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't have said that to me. You know, many of our listeners are in direct selling, and a lot of you are leaders in the field. And so what I hear from many of my coaching clients in the direct selling field is there are people in my downline who just don't get it. And there are any number of permutations on things that people do that we find objectionable, that we get frustrated with, and that upon experiencing them pretty quickly go into that state of judgment. And I'd like to propose that there's a very strong likelihood that if we could remove that propensity and train ourselves to truly take a different approach, that our relationships would improve, that our lives would improve, and that we'd become better leaders all the way around. And that's really what our ultimate goal is, to become effective leaders, to be able to pass along the skills and attitudes of success to those who we work with, and kind of become that pebble in a pond that spreads and ripples outward and makes the world a better place. So I'm very committed to helping individuals overcome this tendency that we all have to become judgmental and to become blocked and to become less than compassionate and understanding about the behaviors of others. And I'm the first to admit that I have these tendencies myself. A little personal story. I'm currently spending time with my mom, who is beginning to experience symptoms of senile dementia. So she's forgetting things more than she used to, and misplacing things and becoming confused. And at the same time, she has a history of being an extremely independent woman. And she's somebody who is acutely aware of this loss of ability that's taking place. And as a result, she's reacting. And those reactions are sometimes unpleasant to be around. She's accusing me of changing her life, or trying to change her life, or trying to control her behavior. And it's frustrating for me as a caregiver, because I've only got her best interests at heart. But she's articulate enough to express to me what she doesn't like about the ways in which I step in and try to help out. This has been a learning experience for both of us, because although she has certain disabilities, she also has certain very definite abilities and certain very definite ways of doing things that have been working for her for a long time. And my job as a caregiver, as a loving and compassionate son, is to support her in being able to continue doing what she can do, and also replace the things she can't do with other systems, other ways of doing those things. And along the way, there are battles of the will. There's anger and irritation. And my first tendency when, for example, I buy her a new AccuCheck to keep her blood sugar monitored, and she doesn't want to use the new one. She wants to use the old one. And we end up in a fight about why use the old one when you've got a brand new one that works better. You know, it's almost incomprehensible to me that somebody would choose the old over the new, the broken over the repaired, but that's what she's comfortable with. And what I've had to do for myself is to go inside and use the technology that I'm going to be sharing with you today to accept things that on the surface were difficult to accept. So you might find areas in your life that you can relate to these tendencies, these times when you look at somebody else's behavior and you think, how on earth can they think this way? How on earth could they behave this way? Why would they want to do this? And you're not coming particularly from a spirit of curiosity, but from a spirit of judgment and almost disbelief. So there is a way to handle these situations that makes you a better leader, a better recruiter, a better salesperson, a better mother, a better spouse, all the way around. And I'd like to share it with you right now and explain it in two steps. So step one has to do with the internal process, that is what you do inside of your own head in regard to these things. And step two has to do with the external process, or what you do in relation to the other individual. The first thing you need to do is the internal process. You have to process the situation yourself. Come up with some plausible understanding that might serve you in your relationships, and then you have to express yourself in a particular way. Both steps are important, and we'll go through those one by one. And by the way, I wonder if you've had an opportunity to hear the words of wisdom coming from my dog and my mother's dog in the background. They've been very vocal during the course of this conversation, and I know they each have something very wise and wonderful to share, so I hope you're getting a lot out of it. In fact, there they go now.
Anyway, each of these areas, that is the internal and the external, are both a five-step process, and I'd recommend that you get a piece of paper and a pen. You'll want to write these down, and then you'll want to kind of work with them until they become second nature to you, and it becomes an internal or mental process rather than a deliberate process. That is, in fact, the reasoning behind the hypnosis for change calls, because in that way I can speak to your subconscious mind and allow change to occur more quickly and to go in more deeply. So we can reach the level of unconscious competence much, much more quickly. So that's why we do those calls, and they follow this, and you're certainly welcome to join those if you'd like. Anyway, five steps for each of these areas. Five steps in regard to the internal process, five steps in regard to the external process. We're going to start with the internal process. Internal process, step one. Step one is to take stock of how you feel. Take stock of how you feel. When you're interacting with somebody else, your feelings can become an exceptionally useful tool. If you're not feeling balanced, peaceful, fully self-expressed and relaxed, there's something going on. And we often fail to realize that, because as soon as we experience uncomfortable or negative feelings, we go instantly into reaction and we go into fight or flight. We start acting in our old ways. But here we're talking about increasing our levels of consciousness, becoming more wise, operating with more wisdom and compassion toward others. And that requires that we first take stock of how we feel, to sort of put the lens on ourselves and to notice that, you know, right now in this moment, I'm feeling agitated, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling frustrated, I'm feeling depressed, whatever the feeling is, I'm feeling scared. That in taking stock of how you feel, you realize that there's a problem here, there's something going on, there's a lack of understanding. It's very, very important to use your feelings as a thermometer or a barometer of the quality of understanding, the quality of acceptance that's taking place in that moment. If you're feeling unpleasant feelings, that's a situation. That's something you want to be really aware needs to be addressed. So step one is take stock of how you feel. Step two is take responsibility for how you feel. It's very easy, as I said, to point the finger at others. So if you're feeling angry or frustrated, you're angry at them, you're frustrated with them, therefore it's their fault. Well, you want to turn that around. You want to take responsibility for how you feel. And what that essentially means is you recognize in that moment that for a series of reasons, having only partially to do with that other person, a certain set of emotions have been triggered in you. Partly because of the stimulus, that's whatever it is that they've done, but to a larger extent, what you think, what you feel, what you believe, what you've been used to, what you personally are sensitive to, you're feeling a certain set of feelings. And before you can do anything to change a situation, you have to take responsibility for it. Because if you don't take responsibility, there's nothing you can do to change it. So step two is to take responsibility for how you feel. That may sound like, I notice that I'm... Now, this isn't something you're saying out loud. This is an internal process. But in your own head, you're saying, I notice that I'm feeling angry. I am creating the experience of anger inside of myself in response to this situation. And then you can move on to step three. And step three is to ask yourself what you're saying about the behavior of the other individual. Now, there is a certain interpretation that you're making of that other person's behavior, that it's irrational, or that it's unprovoked, or that it's cruel, or that it's stupid, or whatever it might be. There's something that you're saying to yourself about their behavior. So what is it that you're saying to yourself about their behavior? And again, this can start out as a process that you do in writing. Removing yourself from the situation long enough to do this process is very useful until you become a master. So you've already taken stock of how you feel. You know there's a problem. You've taken responsibility for how you feel. You know that you have ultimate control over how that problem is dealt with. And then third, you're asking yourself what you're saying about the behavior of the other individual, and you're noticing what your judgment is about that individual. And then you begin to get into the wisdom part of this formula. So step five is, what beliefs might motivate their behavior? What is it that they're believing? What is it that they're thinking that motivates them to act in the way that they act? And this is an area that most of us don't go to, because we just automatically have a knee-jerk reaction that if somebody's acting in an unacceptable way to us, there is no motivation for it. It's unmotivated. It's unprovoked. There's no logic behind it. They're just idiots, or they're cruel, or they're evil, or whatever it might be. But in fact, for every one of us, we experience our actions as justified. And they are justified within the confines of our own belief systems. You know, if I act in a way that somebody else finds aggravating, it's not because I'm trying to aggravate them. And if it is because I'm trying to aggravate them, well, there's a belief there too. What is it that I believe that makes me think that aggravating them is a good idea? You see, I'm always acting in my own best interest, and so are you, and so are they. So you want to ask yourself, as number four, what beliefs might motivate that behavior? And number five, what is the most acceptable explanation for that behavior? This may take a little digging, because the first layer may not give you the answer. For example, what I said before, if somebody's being aggravating to me, and I ask myself what it is that's motivating their actions, the first answer may not be that they've got a noble reason in mind. It might be that they just want to be aggravating. And again, there may be some truth to that. So then I have to go deeper and say, what motivates their desire to be aggravating? And it might be that they feel that they're losing power in some way, or that I've hurt them, and that this is the most skillful way they know how to express the fact that they're hurt. So there's something there, and you want to find that most acceptable understanding provisionally, because you don't know for sure if that's what it is, of why they're acting in that way. So again, you know, you're starting out by noticing how you feel, then you're taking responsibility for it, then you're making an interpretation of what you have to say to yourself about their behavior, and then what motivates that behavior, and finally, what's the most charitable explanation for that behavior. Now, once you've covered those five areas, now you have the opportunity to re-enter into communication with that individual. And this is where communication skills become very helpful. And so, again, there are five steps to being effective in these kind of confrontational, irritating times. And those five steps, which I call the external process, are, number one, acknowledging the other person. You know, regardless of what the situation is, there's something positive you can say about them. And it's always a good thing to do to start. Whatever you can say that's positive and honest and true. The second thing you want to do is to explain the problem, what you're experiencing, and this is where real skill comes in, because being able to explain a problem without becoming accusatory, making the other person feel bad or that they've done something wrong, is a difficult thing to do. You need to be able to use what we call I language, meaning you're speaking from the perspective of what it is that you feel, taking responsibility for it, and if you're describing their behavior, to only do it in the most neutral of terms. So you're not making any kind of value judgment about what they're doing. You're just saying exactly what you see. This is a very difficult skill to develop, and this is one of the areas that we spend a lot of time coaching people on, being effective in this particular area of expressing what it is that they see in a way that doesn't provoke another individual. Just really, really neutral stuff. So you're explaining what the problem is or what it is that you see in their behavior that you want to address. Now, the third thing is to explain your intention and your desire to understand. And this is very, very important. You want to say to somebody, my intention in having this conversation with you is, you know, I want to get to the bottom of this, and I want us to have a good relationship, and I want to make sure that we're on the same page. And your desire to understand, you know, I really want to understand what's motivating that behavior, and why you're doing this thing or why you're not doing this thing, whatever it is, but really expressing, I want to understand it, and saying it with no emotional charge at all. Just explaining your intention that you really want to understand what's motivating them. Number four is to introduce the positive motivation. Remember back in the internal process, we had you think about the most positive or acceptable or charitable explanation for the behavior? This is a good time to explain it to them. You know, you say, I get that this might be an effort on your part you know, to be better understood, or it might be an effort on your part to prevent me from taking control of your life, or whatever it is, but to explain their positive, or to introduce what you think their positive motivation might be, and finally to ask for help. You know, could you help me understand what this is really all about, and how I could best communicate with you, and how we can get past this as quickly as possible. So again, number one, acknowledge them. Number two, explain the problem. Number three, explain your intention and your desire to understand. Number four, introduce what you think is their positive or acceptable or charitable motivation. And five, ask for help. So just to review all these steps once again, these are terrific ways for you to use curiosity as a method for overcoming difficulties in your relationships with others. So in the internal process, curiosity takes form when you first become curious about how you feel, take stock of how you feel, and then you begin to take responsibility for how you feel. And then you become curious again, asking yourself what you're saying about their behavior. And number four, what beliefs might motivate that behavior? And number five, I wonder what the most charitable explanation is. What's the explanation that they'd be comfortable with? And then in the external process, the actual communication, number one, acknowledge that other person. Be compassionate and accepting. Number two, explain the problem, where you're getting hung up, and do it in a way that they could agree with. Everything's just the facts. Number three, explain your intention and desire to understand their behavior. And then number four, introduce what you think might be their positive motivation. Again, do it charitably and understandingly. And then finally, ask for their help to get to the bottom of this. And I think what you'll find is by using this two-part, five-step formula, I guess we'll call it a total of 10 steps, that many of your relationships will improve. And more importantly, you'll be less stressed out and you'll also be more productive. You know, if you're working with a team and you're producing better results in your relationships with the members of that team, then they're going to work harder for you and you're going to get better results on the back end. So there are so many good reasons to take this approach, and I encourage you to do that. Once again, thank you very much, and just to leave you with a positive message, using these tools allowed me to have a really incredible transformation with my mother, and we both sat and kind of teared up and acknowledged each other and got to the bottom of it, and left the what started out as being a little bit of a headbutting match into an area where we both felt a lot of respect and appreciation for each other. And I encourage you to have the same experience. Once again, this material will be introduced to your subconscious mind through the Hypnosis for Change call. So if you think that this is something that you'd like to get at a deeper level, tune in to the Hypnosis for Change call by going to the red button on my website and pushing that button, and then signing up either for the individual call or join our monthly membership and get these calls just $10 a month, an unlimited number of calls, and have access to them from here till eternity. So anyway, thank you again. I hope you've gotten a lot out of this, and I look forward to seeing you and speaking with you again next week. God bless.